A smooth wall changes how a room feels. You see it when light skims across the paint at 7:30 a.m., and there is no shadow from a dent or a nail pop. Patching drywall is not magic. It is a simple sequence. You clear the damage. You fill the void. You shape the surface. You let it cure. You sand with care. The win is a repair that disappears once you prime and paint. You do not need special gear. You need patience and a clean process. This guide walks you from tiny holes to shallow dents so you can work fast and safe. Get the rhythm once, and it stays with you. The wall looks new again. That is the win. Chapter 1: Tools, Setup, and Small Holes. Scope. This chapter covers small drywall repairs that you can complete with hand tools and a single patching compound. You will learn to fix nail pops, tiny picture hook holes, and small dents that do not break the face paper. You will not cut out wall sections. You will not use mesh patches. You will not paint yet. Your goal is a surface that is flush, smooth, and ready for primer. Safety. Drywall dust irritates eyes and lungs. Wear safety glasses and a dust mask or a simple respirator when you sand. Keep the room ventilated. Use a stable step stool or ladder if you must reach high. Place a drop cloth to prevent slips on dust. Keep blades retracted when not in use. Cut away from your body. Dispose of used blades in a safe container. If you suspect a shared wall with a garage or a furnace room, do not open the wall. Fire-rated assemblies need special treatment. This chapter does not alter structure, wiring, or plumbing. If you see any wires or pipes through a damaged spot, stop and consult a licensed pro. Follow local code for interior repairs. Tools and materials. You will need a 4-inch putty knife. A 6-inch knife is helpful for final feathering. You will need lightweight spackle for very small holes or a pre-mixed joint compound for broader areas. You will need 120 grit sandpaper for shaping and 220 grit for final smoothing. You will need a utility knife, a sanding block or sanding pad, a small bucket of clean water, a clean rag, and a vacuum with a brush attachment. Blue tape helps you protect trim. A bright work light or a handheld light helps you see ridges while you work. Setup. Clear the area around the wall. Move furniture at least 3 feet away. Lay a drop cloth from baseboard to 3 feet out. Tape along the top of the baseboard. Set your tools on a small tray or a piece of cardboard so compound does not smear onto the floor. Fill a small pan or a clean plastic lid with a scoop of spackle or compound. Keep the main tub sealed to prevent drying. Dampen the clean rag. Plug in your work light. Stand at the wall and sight across the surface at a sharp angle. Light across the wall shows every defect. Circle each spot with a light pencil mark so you can find it again. Understanding the surface. Drywall is a gypsum core wrapped in paper. The front face is smooth. The back is rough. For tiny holes and small dents, the face paper remains intact or has a small puncture. Your job is to bond a thin layer of compound to the paper or shallow gypsum and shape it flush with the surrounding paint film. Thick globs crack and take longer to dry. Thin controlled layers give you speed and quality. Nail pops. A nail pop shows as a round rise with a hairline ring or a small crater where the nail head has backed off. Find the pop. Place the 4-inch knife flat and press. If the surface moves, the fastener is loose. Set the nail back. Hold the knife beside the pop for support. Place a hammer on the nail and tap once to set it just below the surface. Do not crush the paper. If there is a screw, drive it 1/2 turn to set the head just below the surface. Add a second screw 2 inches above or below to lock the framing hold. With fasteners set, scrape the area with the knife to remove any high paint ridge. Surface prep for tiny holes. 4-pin holes and picture hook holes. Use the utility knife to lightly bevel the edge. Spin the tip in the hole to widen the opening slightly. This removes frayed paper and loose paint so the compound keys in. Wipe dust with a damp rag. Let the spot dry for 2 minutes. If the paint is glossy, scuff a 2-inch circle with 120 grit. A scuffed surface helps adhesion. Mix and knife control. If your spackle or compound seems stiff, stir it in a small pan with the knife until it is creamy. Do not add water to spackle. 4-joint compound. A teaspoon of clean water can loosen a small pan for easier knife work. Load a walnut-sized amount on the back of the 4-inch knife. Hold the knife at a shallow angle. Pull over the hole with firm pressure, so only a thin film remains. 2 or 3 light passes beat 1 thick pass. Clean the knife edge on the pan with each swipe. filling tiny holes. Press compound into the beveled hole. First pass goes horizontal. Second pass goes vertical. Feather edges thin. If you see a crown in the center, scrape once with a clean blade to knock it down. For holes up to 1/8 inch, one thin fill can be enough. For larger small holes up to 1/4 inch, plan on 2 fills. Let the first layer dry. Dry time. Drying depends on humidity and thickness. A thin skim can dry in 20 to 40 minutes with airflow. A thicker fill can take 1 to 2 hours. Do not rush sanding. If you press a finger lightly and it does not dent or feel cool, it is ready. If the compound smears on your fingertip, wait longer. Sanding basics. Wrap 120 grit around a sanding block. This keeps your surface flat. Sand with light pressure. Do not dig. Move in small circles over the patch. Blend outward 1 to 2 inches into the paint film. Wipe dust with the rag. Sight across the surface with the work light. If you see a shadow ring, it is not flat yet. Add a second thin fill. Second fill. Load the 4-inch knife. This pass is wider. Start 1 inch outside the first patch and pull inward. Feather even thinner at the edge. Your goal is to erase the shadow ring. Keep the center flat. Let it dry. Sand again with 120 grit to shape. Switch to 220 grit for a final smooth pass. Wipe clean. Small dents. A dent without a tear in the paper needs a different start. Press the dent with your thumb. If the paper rebounds, you need to score and lift the edges to lock compound. Use the utility knife to score a light X across the dent. Do not cut deep. The goal is to give the compound a key. Wipe the dust. Load the 4-inch knife. Press compound into the X and spread thin. Let it dry. Sand light fill and sand again. Shallow chips with torn paper. If the face paper is torn and lifted, you must control fuzz. Cut away any loose paper with the utility knife at a shallow angle. Sand the area lightly. Seal the exposed paper with a quick wipe of compound applied very thin, or a dedicated sealer if you have one on hand. Let the thin wipe dry. This seals the fuzz so your later fill stays smooth. Now apply a normal thin fill, feather out, dry, and sand. Edge control and feathering. Feathering makes a small patch vanish under light. Hold the knife at a lower angle near the edge and use less pressure in the center. Then increase pressure at the outer 1 inch so you leave almost no compound at that edge. Think of it as a gentle ramp from paint film to patch and back to paint film. Work in two directions so you do not build a ridge. Cleaning between steps. Dust is the enemy of adhesion. After each sand, vacuum the area with a brush attachment. Wipe with a barely damp rag and let dry 5 minutes. Keep your knives clean. A dried crumb on the blade will track a scratch line across fresh compound. Every few passes, scrape the knife clean on the pan edge. Dealing with hairline cracks at corners. Hairline cracks at inside corners often come from movement or a thin tape bed. This chapter covers only very small cracks. Use the utility knife to score lightly along the crack to remove loose paint. Press in a thin bead of compound with the 4-inch knife. Pull it tight into the corner. Feather each side out 1 inch. Let it dry. Sand with a folded piece of 220 grit, one light pass on each side. If movement is obvious, stop here and plan for tape work in a later chapter, since that becomes a medium repair. Light checks. Use raking light to judge flatness. Hold your work light at the side and skim the beam across the patch. A bright halo means a ridge. A dark ring means a hollow. Sand a ridge. Fill a hollow. Work until the patch shows no shadow ring. Do not chase perfection in the raw compound. Primer and paint will add a film. Your target is smooth to the touch and flat under light. Moisture and bathroom walls. Small dents in a bath can hold moisture if ventilation is poor. Run the fan or open a window while drying. Do not apply compound on wet paint. If the surface is damp, towel it dry and wait. Moisture under compound causes slow cure and can lead to soft spots that sand away too fast. Give these patches extra time. Temperature and cure. Compound cures best near 70 degrees Fahrenheit with average humidity. Cold rooms slow cure. If the room is near 50 degrees, the patch will stay soft. Use a small space heater in the room to raise air temperature a few degrees. Do not aim heat directly at the patch. Keep airflow gentle. Fast heat can skin the surface and trap moisture underneath. Shaping with a 6-inch knife. Once the second fill has dried, switch to the 6-inch knife for a final skim. Load a thin ribbon of compound. Pull a long pass across the patch, then one pass perpendicular. Keep the blade edge clean. This long pass ties the patch into the surrounding wall. Feather edges thin. Let it dry. Sand only as needed with 220 grit to erase tool lines. Nail pop finish pass. Four nail pops. The repair needs a slightly wider footprint because the paint film can have a ring from the original lift. After the first fill and sand, run a 6-inch knife pass across a 4-inch circle centered on the fastener. Feather edges to nothing. Dry. Sand with 220 grit. Light check. You should not see a halo when the light skims across. Dust control tips. Use a sanding pad that connects to a vacuum if you have one. If not, sand slowly and keep the pad flat. Wipe the pad face on a piece of scrap cardboard to shed loaded dust. Replace paper when it clogs. A clogged sheet scratches and leaves swirl marks. Fresh paper cuts clean and fast. When to stop? Stop sanding when the surface feels level and shows no ring under raking light. If you can feel an edge with your fingertips, you will see it after paint. If it feels continuous and smooth, you are ready for primer in Chapter 3. Do not oversand. Oversanding thins the surrounding paint film and can expose paper, which then needs another seal and fill. Verify. Run your palm lightly across the patch with your eyes closed. You will feel edges that you may not see. Shine the work light from two angles. Look from left to right. Then look from top to bottom. If it passes both views and the palm test, the patch is ready. If you are unsure, mist a small area with a damp rag. The slight sheen mimics primer and will show imperfections. Common fails and fixes. If the patch shrinks and leaves a shallow dish, apply one more thin fill and feather wider. If sanding pulls fibers from torn paper, stop and seal the area with a very thin skim and let it dry before you sand again. If a ridge keeps reappearing, your knife is dirty or you are pushing too hard at the edge. Clean the blade and lighten up on the edge. If you see pinholes, your compound was too stiff or you trapped air. Skim a very thin pass with slightly looser compound and press firmly to close the holes. Document. Take a quick photo after the final sand. Note the location in your phone. Record that the patch is ready for primer. If you are working room by room, label each patch count per wall so you prepare enough primer later. Good notes save time when you move to finishing. Recap. You set a safe work area with dust control. You prepped each spot, filled thin, sanded flat, and feathered edges. You verified the surface under raking light and by touch. Chapter 2 Medium to Large Repairs. Scope. This chapter handles holes and damage larger than 1/4 inch and up to about 10 inches across. You will learn square cutouts, backing support, mesh and paper tape seams, and multi-coat compound work. You will not paint or prime in this chapter. You will not texture match yet. Your goal is a flat, sound repair that blends to touch and sight, ready for finishing. Safety. Wear eye protection and a dust mask during cutting and sanding. Keep fingers clear of the saw path. Use a stud finder set to livewire alert when scanning the repair zone. If the tool beeps, stop and choose a new route or call a licensed pro. Cut shallow and check the cavity with a flashlight before you insert a saw. Never cut where plumbing or electrical is likely. Use a stable ladder when working above shoulder height. Vacuum dust often to keep the floor safe. Dispose of sharp offcuts and used blades in a safe container. Follow local code for any wall that is fire rated, such as a garage wall. This chapter does not alter framing or structure. Tools, parts, and specs. You will need a tape measure, pencil, straight edge, utility knife with fresh blades, drywall saw, and a rasp for edge tuning. Have 4-inch, 6-inch, and 10 or 12-inch knives for compound. For backing support, use 1x3 furring strips or scrap wood that is 3/4 inch thick and at least 2 inches wider than the hole in both directions. For fasteners, use 1 1/4 inch drywall screws for 1/2 inch gypsum board. If your wall is 5/8 inch, choose 1 5/8 inch screws. For patch stock, use the same thickness as the wall. Most interior walls are 1/2 inch. Ceilings are often 1/2 inch or 5/8. Use paper tape or fiberglass mesh tape. Paper tape is stronger over time. Mesh can be faster on small seams, but needs a richer base coat. Have pre-mixed all-purpose joint compound for bedding and first coats. Have lightweight topping compound for final coats if available. If you only have all-purpose, it can do all coats. Keep 120 grit and 220 grit sanding sheets. A sanding block and a pole sander help on larger areas. A small level and a bright work light will help you judge flatness. Setup. Clear the area and lay drop cloths. Remove loose fragments around the hole. With a straight edge, draw a square or rectangle that fully contains the damage. Square edges make patching easier. Mark stud locations if the hole is near framing. If you can catch one stud edge, the patch will be even stronger. Assemble backing strips cut about 4 inches longer than the hole's width. Pre-drill one pilot hole near each end of each backing strip, so screws start easy when you anchor through the face of the wall. Place tools and fasteners within reach. Keep a trash box for offcuts and dust. Step 1. Score and square the opening. Use the utility knife to score along your rectangle lines to cut paint and paper. Make 2 or 3 passes with light pressure. This controls tear out at the edges. Then use the drywall saw to cut out the rectangle. Push gently and keep the blade shallow. As the piece loosens, support it with your free hand to avoid ripping the face paper. Remove the cutout. Shine a light in the cavity and check for wires or pipes. If you see any, stop and reassess. If the cavity is clear, clean the edges with a rasp so the opening is even. Step 2. Install backing support. Slide one backing strip into the hole and center it so an equal length extends past each side of the opening. Hold the strip tight to the backside of the wall. From the face of the wall, drive 2 drywall screws through the gypsum into the backing, one near the top edge and one near the bottom edge of the opening. Repeat on the opposite side, so the backing spans the opening like bridge rails. If the hole is larger than 6 inches, add a third strip across the middle to reduce flex. If you can catch a stud edge, add 2 screws into the stud from the patch perimeter. All screw heads should recess slightly below the face without tearing the paper. If a head tears the paper, back it out and move over 1 inch. Step 3. Cut and fit the patch. Place the removed rectangle on a piece of new drywall of matching thickness. Trace its outline. Cut the patch with a utility knife. Score the face paper, snap the gypsum along the scored line, then cut the back paper. Dry fit the patch in the opening. The patch should slip in without force, and with a gap no larger than 1/16 inch. Tune edges with the rasp. Label the back of the patch with an arrow pointing up so your fit stays consistent. Step 4. Fasten the patch. Seat the patch into the opening over the backing strips. Drive drywall screws into the backing about 1 inch in from each edge. Space screws 8 inches apart. Recess each head slightly below the face. Check that the patch surface aligns with the surrounding wall. If a corner sits proud, loosen a nearby screw and reset it while pressing the patch flush, then tighten. Step 5. Tape the seams. Wipe dust from the patch perimeter with a dry brush or a vacuum. For paper tape, load a 6-inch knife with all-purpose compound. Lay a thin bed along each seam, roughly 4 inches wide. Press paper tape into the wet bed. Pull the knife along the tape with light pressure to squeeze out air and excess compound. Leave a thin film over the tape. For mesh tape, apply the mesh centered on the seam and press it down. Then skim over the mesh with compound, fully burying the mesh so it does not telegraph through the surface. At corners, switch to paper tape. Paper tape resists cracking better in corners. Step 6. First coat, bed coat. With the 6-inch knife, apply compound to all seams and screw heads. Aim for a coat about 1/16 inch thick. Feather edges 2 inches each side of the seam. On larger patches, widen to 8 inches total. Keep the center flat and the edges thin. Clean tool edges often to avoid ridges. Let the coat dry fully. Expect overnight in a cool room. Use airflow to help, not heat. Step 7. Shape sand. When dry, sand lightly with 120 grit on a block. Do not sand through the tape. Your target is to knock down lines and nibs. Wipe dust. Sight across the seam with raking light. You will see highs and lows. Do not chase perfection yet. The next coat builds shape. Step 8. Second coat, build coat. Switch to a 10 or 12 inch knife. Load a generous ribbon of compound. Pull long passes centered over each seam, spreading the coat wider than the first. Think of a shallow hill that rises at the seam and grades to nothing 6 inches beyond. Feather pressure at the edges. Cover screw heads again. On a large patch, run perpendicular passes to blend. Let dry. Step 9. Sand and check. Block sand with 120 grit to fair the surface. Then check with a straight edge laid across the repair. Move the light across from several angles. If you see a dish, the center needs a touch more. If you see a ridge, you laid the edge too heavy. Sand the ridge down and plan a thin skim pass. Step 10, third coat, finish skim. Use lightweight topping compound if you have it. With a 12-inch knife, skim a very thin coat that extends beyond the build coat by about 1 inch. This pass erases tool chatter and pinholes. Keep the knife clean. Let it dry. Sand with 220 grit for a smooth finish. Do not oversand. If you expose tape, stop, skim that spot again, and resand when dry. Alternate method, California patch for mid-size holes. For holes about 2 to 5 inches, a face paper patch can save time. Cut a square of new drywall 2 inches larger than the hole. On the back, score around the perimeter so you can snap and peel gypsum away, leaving a 1-inch face paper flange on all sides. Test fit the gypsum plug into the hole so the paper flange overlaps the existing wall. Butter the backside of the paper flange with compound. Press the plug into the hole. Smooth the paper flange flat to the wall with a 6-inch knife, pushing out air. Let it dry. Skim 2 coats wider with a 10 or 12-inch knife. Sand and check. This method avoids wood backing on mid-size holes. Do not use it on ceilings with sag or on walls that see impact. Edge cases, irregular tiers, and crumbled gypsum. If the opening edges are ragged or crumbled, square them larger until the paper is sound. Gypsum must have intact face paper to bond well. If you must bridge a gap wider than 1/8 inch, stuff a thin strip of paper or mesh before taping so compound does not collapse. Inside corners, small breaks. If a hole touches an inside corner, split the repair into 2 moves. Square and patch the flat field first, keeping the patch shy of the corner by 1/8 inch. After it is set, run paper tape down the corner with a dedicated corner knife or 2 passes of a 6-inch knife, one side at a time. Feather out each side 6 inches. Let dry and skim again. Ceiling patches, sag control. Gravity works against you overhead. Add extra backing strips and keep coats thin. Use a sturdier all-purpose compound for the first 2 coats so it does not sag. When sanding, use a pole sander and keep dust control strong. Wear goggles that seal. Tests and quality checks. Use 3 checks. First, palm test. Close your eyes and slide your palm across the seam. You should not feel an edge. Second, raking light test. Shine light along the wall. Look for dark rings or bright ridges. Third, straight edge test. Lay the straight edge across the repair. Gaps show dishes. High spots show ridges. Mark flaws with a pencil and address them with a spot skim or a few strokes of the block. Dry time discipline. Thick coats trap moisture. If the surface skins but the core stays soft, sanding will tear. Keep each coat thin and give air a path. A gentle fan across the room helps. Do not aim heat at the patch. If time is tight, use a setting compound for the first coat. Mix small batches and follow the bag time, such as 20-minute or 45-minute. Let it set hard, then switch back to premixed for easy sanding. Clean tools fast after setting compound. It hardens in the pan. Troubleshooting. Ridges after every pass mean a dirty knife or too much pressure at the edge. Clean the blade and lighten your grip. Bubbles under paper tape mean a dry bed or air pockets. Slice the bubble with a utility knife, lift the flap, butter under it, and press it flat. Cracks along mesh tape mean the base coat was too thin or the wall moves. Skim a wider coat and consider a paper tape overlay if movement persists. A dish that will not go away means you keep sanding the center. Stop sanding. Skim a broad, thin pass with a 12-inch knife, extending farther out. Let dry and sand only the edges. Exposed tape during sanding means you built too thin. Skim that area again, dry, and sand lightly. Patch flex when pressed means insufficient backing. Add a screw into a backing strip or stud at that spot. If backing is missing, open the seam and add a strip. Dust control. Vacuum after each sand. Wipe with a barely damp microfiber and let dry 5 minutes. Dust left on the surface will ball under the next skim and drag lines. Change sanding sheets when they clog. A fresh sheet cuts clean and reduces swirl marks. Moist rooms and kitchens. In baths or kitchens, keep the room ventilated and allow extra dry time. If the wall gets splash contact, keep the patch compact and tight. Do not install a patch in an active leak zone. Solve the moisture first. For tiled areas, this chapter does not apply. Tile backer and waterproofing are different systems. Large damage beyond 10 inches. If the damage is wider than 10 or 12 inches, it can be faster to replace a full panel from stud to stud. That method includes seam layout and full taper blends. If you must proceed on a large area, mark stud centers, cut back to studs, and hang new board with proper screw patterns. Then follow the same tape and coat process. Take photos of stud locations before you close the wall to help with future anchors. Backing patterns that work. One strip each side works for small rectangles. For a wide, short opening, place two strips top and bottom. For an irregular shape, square it first. For a tall, narrow opening, run long vertical strips and add one cross strip in the middle to prevent bowing. Pre-drill strips so screws bite true. Pine or poplar backers cut clean and hold screws well. Knife control for wide schemes. Hold the 12-inch knife with your dominant hand on the handle and the other hand guiding the blade near the far end. Keep the blade slightly crowned so the center carries a hair more pressure. This lays material where you need it and keeps edges thin. On the return pass, reverse the crown for balance. Clean the blade edge every two passes. Screw head treatment. Every screw head gets a small dab on the bed coat and a wider dab on the build coat. On the finish skim, the head should vanish inside the larger field. If you see a dimple after drying, add a tiny dot of compound, let it dry, and touch sand with 220 grit. Edge feathers into existing texture. Even if you plan to texture later, build a flat base first. Keep edges thin at the transition to the existing wall. Avoid thick lips. A thin feather allows texture or primer to bridge without a step. Prep for Chapter 3. When the surface feels flat and looks even under raking light, you are ready for finishing. Vacuum the entire repair area. Wipe with a dry cloth. Do not prime yet if there is visible dust. Check the room schedule so you can block enough time for primer and paint sequence. Plan lighting for inspection after primer. Primer reveals flaws that raw compound can hide. Be ready for a small touch-up skim if needed. Document. Take photos of each stage. Cut out, backing installed, patch fastened, tape set, first coat, second coat, and finished sand. Note the patch size and location. Record the compound types you used and dry times. These notes help you plan Chapter 3 and help if you must return to a repair later. Recap. You squared the damage and installed solid backing. You matched board thickness, fastened the patch flush, and taped seams. You ran three controlled coats with clean feathers and verified flatness with light and a straight edge. Chapter 3, Finishing, Blending, and Prevention. Scope. This chapter takes your flat repair and makes it disappear. You will prime the compound, match light texture if needed, and blend paint so the wall reads as one surface. You will learn how to pick sheen, feather edges, and check under light. You will also add simple prevention habits so you do not have to patch the same spot twice. Safety. Work in a ventilated room. Wear eye protection when you sand or spray texture. Use a dust mask during light touch sanding. Set a stable ladder for high walls and ceilings. Keep lids on primers and paints when not in use. Wipe drips as they happen. Clean up trays so floors do not get slick. Follow local code in wet rooms and on fire-rated walls. Do not sand lead paint. If the home was built before 1978 and you suspect old coatings, stop and consult a certified pro. Tools and materials. You will need a bright work light, a clean sanding block, 120 grit and 220 grit sheets, a vacuum with a brush, a microfiber cloth, painter's tape, drop cloths, and a small straight edge. For primer, use a quality drywall primer or a stain blocking primer if there were marker, smoke, or watermarks. For texture, have an adjustable aerosol texture for small areas or a small pan of thin joint compound and a texture tool such as a roller, brush, or wide knife. For paint, have a brush for edges, a small 4-inch roller for tight areas, and a 9-inch roller with a cover that matches the wall texture. Use 3/8-inch nap for smooth walls. Use 1/2-inch nap for light texture. Have a tray, a liner, and a pole if needed. Keep clean water and rags ready. Setup. Vacuum the repair and the surrounding wall from baseboard to shoulder height. Wipe with a dry microfiber. Place drop cloths. Tape trim where needed. Stage primer and paint on a flat surface near the work. Set the work light so it rakes across the patch from the side. Raking light reveals lines the room light can hide. Surface check and touch sand. Run your palm across the patch. If you feel a faint ridge, knock it down with two or three strokes of 220 grit on a block. Stay gentle. Do not sand through to tape. If you uncover a low dish or a scratch line, mix a spoon of compound and skim a paper-thin pass with a 6-inch knife. Let it dry and sand smooth. Repeat the light check. You are ready for primer when the surface feels flat and looks even under raking light. Why primer matters? Primer seals porous compound and bare paper so top coat sits level and bonds. Without primer, the patch flashes. Flashing is a dull or shiny spot that shows through after paint. Primer also reveals flaws. A thin coat across the patch will show ridges at once. Plan for a spot skim if primer reveals anything you missed. Primer selection. Use drywall primer for clean repairs with no stains. Use a stain blocking primer if the area had marker, smoke, or watermarks. Stain blockers seal brown tannin and yellow halos so they do not bleed through fresh paint. If you are not sure, choose the blocker for the patch and a small halo around it. It saves a return trip. Priming technique. Stir the primer. Load a small brush and cut a tight border around the patch. Do not flood beyond the feather edge. Roll the field with a 4-inch roller for small patches or a 9-inch roller for larger blends. Work the roller in a tight W pattern to spread even film. Keep a wet edge. Do not overwork. Let the coat dry fully. Most primers dry to touch in 30 to 60 minutes at 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Cooler rooms take longer. When dry, rake light across the area and inspect. Circle flaws with a pencil. Skim, sand, and spot prime those marks. Texture basics. If the wall is smooth, skip this section and move to paint. If the wall has a light orange peel, a knockdown, or a soft hand texture, you must mimic it. Your goal is not an exact art match. Your goal is a visual blend that reads right at a normal viewing distance and under glancing light. Orange peel match, spray can method. Shake the can per the label time. Warm the can in room air if cold. Practice on cardboard. Hold 12 to 18 inches from the surface. Short bursts build small dots. Longer bursts build a heavier spatter. Aim for a pattern that looks like the existing wall at a glance. Mask a loose square around the patch if needed. Spray the patch field with a light pass. Let it tack for 10 minutes. If it looks sparse, add a second light pass. Do not flood. Let it dry per the label. Lightly touch with your fingertips. It should feel close to the surrounding wall. Orange peel match, roller method. Thin joint compound with clean water until it rolls like thick paint. Use a small nap roller. Load lightly and roll a test on cardboard. When the dots look right, roll the patch area in one gentle pass. Do not go back and forth. Let it set. If dots stand too tall, knock the tops with a dry roller after a few minutes. Let it dry. Knockdown match. Make a light spatter with a spray can or a flick of a brush. Let it set for a few minutes until the peaks lose sheen. Then lay a clean 6-inch knife flat and glide across to knock the tops down. Clean the blade after each glide. Practice on cardboard first. Time is key. If you knock down too soon, you smear. If you wait too long, peaks scrape off and leave scars. Work small. Blend the edges thin into the existing texture. Hand stipple or skip trowel. Thin compound a little. Use a brush or a wide knife. For stipple, load a brush and dab a repeating light pattern. For skip trowel, hold a knife at a steep angle and drag light arcs that skip across the surface and leave thin ridges. Match the rhythm of the room. Less is more. Blend outward so the change fades to the eye. Feather the texture. Even a good match can show a halo if the blend stops in a hard line. Always feather your last dots into the old field. Keep the outer inch light. After the texture dries, run a fingertip across the blend. If you feel a step, lightly sand only the edge. Do not sand the face of the pattern. You want to keep the peaks. Vacuum dust and wipe with a dry cloth. Spot prime the textured area once to seal it before paint. Paint sheen and color check. Sheen matters. Flat paint hides patches best. Eggshell shows more light bounce. Satin shows even more. Match the existing sheen. If you are unsure, put a small dab of your paint on a card and hold it to the wall under light. If color is unknown, cut a hidden chip from a closet or behind a switch cover and have a paint desk scan it. If you cannot match, repaint the full wall corner to corner. A full wall blend hides small color shifts better than a spot. Cut and roll routine. Stir the paint. Load a brush. Cut a neat line around the patch and a small halo. Roll the field with the right nap. For small patches, a 4-inch roller is clean and fast. For a larger blend, switch to a 9-inch roller, and widen the halo. Work in a tight west, and close the pattern with straight passes. Keep a wet edge. Do not let the roller run dry across the feather. Dry passes flash. Back roll once to equalize texture. Let the coat dry. Most interior paints need 2 hours at 70 degrees Fahrenheit to recoat. Check your can. Blending strategy. If the color match is good and the wall is clean, a two-coat spot blend with a soft halo usually vanishes. If you see a sheen change at the edge, widen the second coat another foot. If the wall has many touch-ups, plan a full wall roll from corner to corner for the second coat. Work from natural breaks, such as corners or trim edges. This hides micro changes in color and sheen. Edge management. The eye catches hard edges. Keep your outer edge thin and damp. On the first coat, feather the last 6 inches with almost no pressure. On the second coat, push the feather edge out past the first. This soft edge makes the blend natural. If you leave a hard lap mark, wait for full dry and add one more light feather coat beyond it. Lighting checks. Turn the work light so it grazes the wall from the side. Walk the wall. Look high and low. If you see a dull circle or a shiny circle that is flashing, add a thin coat over that area and widen the halo. If you see a small ripple, it is in the compound, not the paint. Sand skim thin, prime that spot, and recoat. If night light reveals a shadow that day light did not, correct it now. Light at 7:30 a.m. and at 7:30 p.m. hits at different angles. A finished wall should read clean at both times. Ceiling blends. Ceilings show laps fast. Use flat ceiling paint and a half-inch nap roller. Work across the light source, not with it. Keep a full tray. Roll in lanes and back roll each lane. If the patch is small, feather a wide cloud around it. If lines show after dry, roll the entire ceiling. Doors, trim, and corners. Cut clean lines where the wall meets trim. Brush from the trim outward so paint does not pool at the edge. At inside corners, roll one wall at a time and stop tight in the corner. A clean corner is a natural break and hides small shifts. Cure time and return to use. Paint dries to touch in a few hours. Full cure takes longer. Many interior paints reach most of their hardness in 7 days. Avoid scrubbing the new patch during that time. If you must clean a mark, dab with a damp cloth and no harsh cleaner. Let the area cure fully before hanging a picture over it. Common fails and fixes. Flashing after two coats means primer coverage was light or sheen does not match. Spot prime the area and repaint with matched sheen. Raised grain in a textured blend means you sanded the face of the pattern. Skim a thin film over the scuffed area, retexture lightly, prime, and repaint. Visible lap marks mean a dry roller or poor feather. Recoat while keeping a wet edge and feather farther out. Orange peel too heavy means your spray pass was too wet. Light sand the tops, skim a touch, and retry with shorter bursts. Knockdown smear means you knocked down too soon. Let the next test set a few minutes more before you glide the knife. Color off by a hair means the match is close but not perfect. Repaint corner to corner. A full wall hides a small color drift. Final inspection routine. Stand at 3 distances. 1 foot for touch. 3 feet for room use. 10 feet for general view. Check with light across and with light from above. The patch should not call attention. If it looks smooth and the color holds, it is done. Take a photo of the final finish in the same light you used for earlier checks. Note the paint brand family, color code, and sheen in your records so you can match later. Prevention and care. Use proper anchors for the load. For light frames, use small picture hooks driven into the stud or into a rated hollow wall anchor. For shelves, hit a stud with screws. A stud finder helps. Do not hang heavy items on drywall alone. Use bumpers on doorknobs so they do not punch holes. Add corner guards in tight hallways. In kids' rooms, choose a tougher paint finish such as eggshell for easier cleaning. Control moisture with a bath fan that vents outside. Wipe small scuffs early with a damp cloth so you do not sand into paint later. Store a small repair kit with compound, a 4-inch knife, sandpaper, and touch-up paint. A 5-minute fix today prevents a larger job next month. Moisture and stain watch. If a stain returns after primer and paint, moisture is active. Look for roof leaks above, plumbing lines in the wall, or condensation from poor ventilation. Solve the source. Then cut out soft gypsum and repair as in Chapter 2. Seal stained areas with a stain blocking primer before paint. Documentation. Record the room, wall, and approximate patch size. Note the compound type, texture method, primer, paint color code, and sheen. Save a small labeled sample of the final paint in a sealed jar. Keep photos of the patch under raking light and after finish. These notes help you match work when you return to the space months later. Clean up. Wash brushes and rollers until water runs clear. Spin out excess water and lay flat to dry. Seal cans tight. Wipe trays and liners or discard liners. Fold drop cloths dust side in. Vacuum the room. Return furniture to place. Remove tape at a low angle while the last coat is still slightly soft for the cleanest edge. Verify. Palm test across the finished area. No edge should catch your skin. Raking light test from two angles. No halos or ripples should appear. General view test at normal room light. The wall should read as one plane. If it passes all three, your patch is complete. Recap. You sealed and revealed with primer. You matched texture and feathered the blend. You painted with the right sheen and verified under light.